today that the Lord has laid upon my heart. And part of the things I'm going to say today may not be very easy for me to say. However, I feel like that as a pastor, I have a mandate. And in the mandate that I have, it may not always sound exactly the way you want it to sound. And it may not always be the way that you want it to be. But yet I believe firmly, steadfastly on the Word of God. I believe that. I believe that God's Word is true. And I believe that God has given us His Word, even in the Old Testament, as the Bible says, as examples. The King James uses the word in samples, but it's examples unto us. I don't stand here in any way, shape, form, or fashion to look down my nose at anybody or to condemn anybody. My goal and my desire today is to get you to understand that you're going to spend somewhere in eternity. That was not your decision to be able to spend somewhere in eternity. That was God's decision because God made you a living soul. But it is your decision and it is your choice to decide where you want to spend eternity. Here's the thing. You don't have a lot of control over a lot of things. But I will say this, that you have 100% control over your eternal destiny. I want to share some things with you today on the value of your eternal soul. The value of your eternal soul. I want to start reading today out of the book of Luke, chapter number 12. And as we look at this, again, it picks up in verse number 13, if you will. And the Bible says, "And one of the company said unto him, Master," speaking to Jesus, "speak to my brother that he divided the inheritance with me. And he said unto me, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? In other words, he's saying, I have been so blessed. Look at all of my stuff. I've got so much stuff. It looks like the pastor's garage. No, I'm sorry. I don't have that much stuff. I got junk that's in my garage. But it's like I'm a hoarder. And I think, what am I going to do with all of this stuff? And he says, I know what I'll do. I'll just tear down my barn, my little bitty building, and I'll make me a great big building. And therefore, I'll have enough room to put all of my junk, all my stuff. And that's the synopsis of this. And that's it in a nutshell. So all he was caring about at that time was his stuff. His what he had, because the Bible, again, he teaches us that he was a rich man and he was very plentiful. So his idea was no doubt on things of the earth and not things eternal. How often do we find ourselves concentrating only on what we can see with our physical eye right now, and we postpone or we negate the responsibility to care about your soul? So we see this, and he come up with this answer, and he come up with this conclusion, the eyes that I will do. He said, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. Look so into this scripture that no doubt how egocentric, if you will. He only looked to what he could do for himself. He didn't care about his brother that came to him and wanted to ask him to share his goods. He wasn't interested in that. So here's the thing. We see that he was really, at this point, he was really just trying to decide what he was going to do for his goodies and all of his stuff. Now I have to put a pause on this service. Pastor gets all kinds of information. I just got information that Kelsey's water broke just then. That they're on their way to the hospital. And already there and asking the church for prayer. So we're going to pray for Kelsey. And what about the baby shower? Well, you know, that's a woman's thing right there. Somebody needs to let me know that. But we want to just pray for Kelsey and Troy right now. Father, we love and honor and praise and thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Father God, for Troy and for Kelsey, Lord. And Father, you teach us in the Word that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So God, you have a plan today for this family. I pray, God, that you just touch the both of them, settle their nerves. Lord, let them sense and know your Holy Spirit is there with them right now. Touch the baby and touch them all. Touch the doctors and the nurses. And Father, we know that you can do this. We thank you, Father God, for your blessings. And we know, God, that you can do miracles. And Lord, we thank you and we ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, Brother Jeff. And thank you for praying for Kelsey and for Troy. And we'll let you, I'll get with them in a little bit about the shower this evening. I have a feeling that might be postponed today. But anyway, when we begin to look at this scripture, this individual was very egocentric. Please hear me today as I go through the mountain of material that I've got in front of me, and I'll go as far into it as I can. Don't be so concerned about the things of this life that you forget about your soul. This man, the next verse, even goes on and says this in verse number 19. He went on and he said these words and he said, "And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years." Then he says, "Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." You know what I read into that when I read something like that? That I'm not concerned about my soul today. The only thing I'm concerned about is the party. I want a party, party, party. Now, you think, well, I mean, older people don't party, most anyway. But yet in the same regard, we party a different way. We eat ice cream and eat fried chicken. But anyway, we also can fall into that category. I've raised my family. I've got my home paid for. I got my car and I got everything good. I can just sit back and take it easy. Here's the thing. If we're not really, really careful with our life, we'll grow cold on God even at an old age. And we'll grow very, very cold and we think, well, I don't have to worry about that now. But yet in this next verse, here's what God actually comes back in Jesus' words that are written in red in the Bible. He said, "But God said unto him," look at what he calls him. He says, "Thou fool. You've got all this stuff. All this stuff's laid up in your barns. You had a little building and you had to get a bigger building. Now you've got all this stuff and you've devalued the most important thing of your entire life, and that is your soul." I can't help but to think to myself today how many people, and I feel the Holy Ghost already in here, how many people, not just in Thomasville Church of God, but how many people you know and how many people I know, that they would say to themselves, "Eat, drink, and be merry." But yet they've told their soul, "Take it easy. It's not important. You got many days ahead of you. Nobody's promised tomorrow. Today's the day of salvation. We don't know when we're going to be called home." We've got living proof of that through many people that we know in our life. Here's the problem, people, really today, They have a disregard toward their soul. And here's the important part, is they do not value their soul. We ask a question today. We ask the question today that what is the value of a soul? What is the value of anything? Well, I was reading through and I was studying, and there's at least one realtor. She was here earlier, wherever she took off to. There she is. There's at least one realtor in the building. And as I was studying, I came across this story, and it said, every good realtor will tell you, you can paint a house, you can remodel a house, you can upfit a house, you can do landscaping of the house, and all of those things that you do, you're doing for the possibility of adding value to the property. But in all reality, the value is not based in the paint or the primer or the fittings and the yard and all of that. The real value is placed upon this, what someone is willing to pay you for it. So we think about a soul today. What is the value of a soul? Well, a value of a soul is seen throughout the Scripture. We know this. First of all, we look at the history of the Bible. We look at that in the Scripture in Genesis chapter number 1 and verse number 1. We see value from God is, the Bible said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. May I submit unto you today that this whole entire earth belongs to God. The whole earth belongs to Him, because we see this in the process of God creating the earth. Watch this. God created you. Genesis chapter 2 verse 7. Just a few verses down from that verse. He begins to say this. That the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground. He breathed into him, into his nostrils, the breath of life. And man became a living soul. The breath that is in you. It determines and it signifies that your soul actually belongs to God. It went on further and it allows us to see that God owns the earth. Psalm 52 verses, Psalm 50 verses 10 and 12, and I appreciate Kathy so much up there. She helps me so much. For every beast of the forest is mine. Okay, who owns the beast of the forest? God owns it all. And the Bible said, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills, they belong to God. Look at verses 10, 11, and 12. He says this, I know the fowl of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. Next verse, 12. He says, if I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. In other words, what I read into that is simply that everything in the earth, or everything on the earth, is God. Psalm 24 and verse number 1 even goes on and it tells us in that scripture that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell in it is the Lord's. It sounds like to me that God owns it all. Ezekiel, way over, and Kathy, I'll just mention this one. Ezekiel 18 and verse number 1, it says that all souls are His. Ezekiel, behold, all souls are mine, and mine as the soul of the Father. Watch this. There's something resonating on the inside of you today. Guess what? It's called your soul. Somebody says, what's the difference between the soul and the spirit? The soul, of course, can be looked at in two different ways scripturally, because that word sort of moves over from one to the other. Yes, the soul is the core, the center of your emotion and your will, but it's that immaterial part of you that will eternally exist between you and God. Your soul will spend somewhere forever with God. You need to understand that today. I'm not preaching this just to be preaching this. I wallowed over this all day yesterday, that somebody in this room, your soul is in your hand today, and you will spend somewhere in eternity, and your soul will live forever. The Bible reminds us again the value of a soul. What is the value of a soul? I'm going to tell you, I didn't write this down, but yet I wanted to share it with you without spending a lot of time in one certain spot. But I can tell you the value of a soul. And we don't have to look far to understand the scripture. And I'm going to quote it and then we're going to move on. The scripture that's in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. We don't have to look far to understand streaming from the cross of Calvary, the beaten, bloody body of the Lord Jesus Christ. When He stretched out His hands and He said, "It is finished," and He gave up the ghost. And that is the value of your soul. Jesus didn't do this just because He didn't have anything else to do. But He did this because He loved you so much that He was willing to die on the cross, that He was willing to give of Himself. He was willing to be beaten and battered and spit upon, the beard plucked from His face, mocked and ridiculed. Oh, my friend, when He looked from the cross and He saw the multitude, oh, my friend, that ought to confirm to you and to me today that Jesus loves us. But yet in the fact that Jesus loves us, there is still something that must be said. When you look into 1 Corinthians chapter 6, two verses of Scripture, 19 and 20. When we look at this, it is a reminder. And again, without going into everything that Paul talked about there, Paul was talking about spiritual harlotry, if you will. How that you can join your body with the body of an idolater, if you will. And Paul was rebuking them and Paul was telling them to flee idolatry. And then he comes back and he says this. And my friend, you may not be worshiping a golden calf today, but you have to admit with me that there are things in your life that will take your attention away from Jesus and serving Him. And that thing in and of itself may not be a golden calf, but it is a golden calf in regard that you spend more time with it than you do with God. I didn't write the book, by the way. I'm just a messenger. He says here that your soul was purchased. We see that. And we look at this in the scripture in 1 Corinthians 6 and 19. He asks this question. He says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God?" Watch this. Ye are not your own. Why? Because you belong to God. You've got to make a choice about your salvation. But according to this, the Bible says earlier that God created it all. God owns it all. And this is not written down anywhere, but I don't want anybody in here to be a thief or a robber. That you would steal your soul away from God. That you would think that you were so good, you would think you were so smart, that you were smarter than God. And that you would take possession of something that rightfully belongs to God and steal it away from God and spend an eternity away from God. He goes on to say this in verse number 20. He goes on to say, "For you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." And let me just say really quick that your body matters to God. I'm not one of these hair, makeup, jewelry type of guys. That's not what I'm talking about. But I am talking about spiritual adultery. When you take your body and you use your body and you give your body over to Satan and you're doing things with your body that is contrary to the Word of God, then my friend, you are falling into the depths of sin and God will judge you. Now, I want to be honest with you. I don't want to preach this. I don't want to do it. But the Lord's laid it on my heart all morning and I don't even want to preach it. I don't even want to talk about it. I'm just being honest with you. But it's better to be obedient to what God is saying, because I believe that the scripture that is before us is very important. And again, when I read this, I'm not reading this in a condescending or a condemning manner. I'm only reading this because I want you to understand the value of your soul, that Jesus paid a price for you, and that Jesus' desire is that you will spend all eternity in heaven with Him. So in the book of Luke, and this is probably, I'll try to scoot on through here in just a minute, but when we look at this in the book of Luke, chapter number 16, every time that Jesus ever taught a parable, He said something about a parable. Learn a parable. Learn of me this parable. The commentary has mentioned this in past when I've read this. There is nowhere in this text that says that this is a parable. Evidently, this really did happen. So we see this in the book of Luke chapter 16. And this is actually in verse number 19. And he picks up and he says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There's a comparison between the man, the rich farmer, here in chapter number 12, and this guy in chapter number 16, is because they both fared sumptuously, and it seems to me like that they did not give too much concern to their soul. That's the only thing I'm trying to say, is it seems like they did not really consider the value of their soul and their soul's worth and where they were going to spend eternity. Do you really care about your soul? Do you really care today about where you're going to spend eternity? That's the only thing that every individual in this room possesses that nobody has control over but you. You have the control over that. And in this, the Bible says that he fared sumptuously every day. Verse 20 says, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed from the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. And moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. This is prior to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's where they would go. The rich man also died and was buried. Look in 23. This is a part that I don't want to preach, but it gives us a warning that this rich man who gave no concern at all for his eternal condition, the Bible said that when he died, he went to hell. From my understanding, there's only two places to go. Either you're ready to go to heaven today, or my friend, you're going to miss heaven and you're going to end up in a God-forsaken place called hell. Now you say, well, you're judging me. Now look, I didn't judge nobody. I didn't pass judgment on nobody. I didn't say nobody was going to go to hell here today. But I said you have control over your eternal state. And this is an example that is given to us through the Word of God, that this rich man died, and the Bible said, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, he was playing golf. No, I'm not against golf. But he says he was in torment. He was down at the lake fishing. I'm not against fishing. I love to fish. He was at the mall shopping. No, it didn't say that. And there's nothing wrong going to the mall. But he says that he was in torments in hell because he neglected the value and the worth of his soul. Just like the one that I read in chapter number 12, he had everything he needed. He said, take it easy. I can say to my soul, you're okay. There's not but two types of people in this room today. And I'm not talking about nationalities. I'm talking about there's saved people and there's unsaved people. And only the people sitting here today know. And somebody said, well, I feel like I'm saved, but I'm not really sure where it happened. Let me tell you something, friend. I wouldn't base my eternal salvation on I think I am, maybe I am, because Jesus Christ will confirm with you, your spirit, His spirit will confirm with your spirit that you are a child of God. Hey, I know where it happened. Hello, somebody. If you cannot in your life today pinpoint a time in your life where you bowed on your knees, if we need be, or sat in a pew or whatever, and you gave your life to Jesus and you accepted Jesus as your eternal Savior, don't let this day pass you by without you knowing that in your heart. And then you would say, well, I want to spend a few more years sowing my wild oats. I want to spend a few years having fun. Young persons in this room, listen to me. The seed you sow will be the crop you grow. The Bible says if you sow to the wind, you're going to reap the whirlwind. And I'm going to tell you from a 62-year-old man's perspective, you need to protect your soul. You need to protect your life, because everything that everybody wants you to do is not good for you, and you could very easily end up away from God by doing things that the world would want you to do. And I'll go as far as to say this to our young people: have a good time doing godly things. Have a good time doing things that align with God and His holy word. There's plenty of things you can do out there in society today. You don't have to smoke dope. You don't have to drink liquor. You don't have to go to the ABC store. You don't have to have premarital sex. You don't have to do all of those things that the world says you've got to do to try to prove something to somebody. But my friend, you can live a life of wholesomeness before God, that when you pass away at some age long down the road, hopefully, that you will be able to hear the Lord say, "Well done." But I'm gonna do this really, really quick. He says that this young man, or this rich man, in verse 23, in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, seeing Father Abraham and afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Look in verse 24. And he cried and he said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." Somebody said, "Preacher, do you really believe there's a real hell? You've never seen it." There's a lot of things I've never seen, I still believe in. I believe in oxygen. I don't see it. It's in this room, but I believe in it. If you don't believe in it, stop breathing. I mean, you know. The Bible says that hell hath enlarged herself daily. Now, you'll have to talk to somebody a lot smarter than me. What's it called? A geologist or something like that? People that study the earth and all that kind of stuff. People say, there's no way there's a place like that. Let me tell you something, friend. I've not been to Hawaii. I've not been to some of these mountains that explode and they puff out smoke on the top. They call them volcanoes, and then this hot lava runs. You would never know that that was in the earth. I have not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. We see in part, we understand in part, we look through a glass darkly. God's ways are not our ways, and His ways are much higher than our ways. And I'm sure that somewhere along the journey that we'll see it all and understand it all, but it'll be in the by and by. Lazarus was comforted. Penny, you can come, or I'll preach another hour. I'm not done. I'm nowhere near done. That's why we have 6 o'clock service. But we see this in the scripture, the value of a soul. Again, we look at this and we see that where this rich man fared sumptuously every day, he ended up in hell. This other rich man that built his barn and said, take it easy, soul, take it easy. Our souls somewhere will live eternity. Mark chapter 8, verses 36 and 37 tells us that our souls will live somewhere in eternity. When you look at this, we can see this in the scripture. And there's a question that is posed by this in Mark chapter 8, 36. And in this, he says, "For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" We think about that. Let me read this, and then I'll try to transition to close. It says, "The spirit is the immaterial part of the human being that is in the innermost part of a person. And in that spirit, you have the ability, because God created that spirit, you have the ability to communicate with Him. And we don't hear God speak audibly, but we hear God speak in our heart." One man said it like this. He said, "The soul of mankind is the most valuable part of each of us. And so often it's the first thing we sacrifice for the things of the world." I want you to think about this for just a moment. And I want you to begin to ask yourself this question today, right now. I'm not going to embarrass nobody. I'm not going to call nobody out. I'm not going to do anything to anybody. But I want you to think about this. I want you to understand that our souls are a priceless treasure of infinite worth. Each one was created by God, and I will add, for God. Christ Jesus came to us and transformed us. The Bible teaches us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. But yet, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and 17, he tells us, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." Then we think about your soul today, and I love this when I read it. It said that your soul will be in existence somewhere when the sun refuses to shine. Your soul will be in existence somewhere when the moon no longer casts her light. Your soul will be somewhere when the stars, elements have fallen from the sky. Either your soul will be where I've already mentioned, in heaven, or in hell. It's up to you. Jesus died for our soul, His blood, His agony. I've already mentioned that. And here's the latter part of this. Don't make a foolish transaction with your soul for the foolish things of this world. I think about what I've said, and I think about that, and I don't have time to turn and go through that. I thought about it over in Luke 15. There was this young man who went to his father, God, in the context, and said, "Give me what is mine," because the firstborn, and we know the whole story, how that they would give the firstborn the majority and then the others. But this young man went to his father and said, "Give me what is mine." He parted his inheritance with him. He went out. The Bible said that he wasted his life on sumptuous living. Just wasted it. Wasted his life. Partying. No regards to the things that he was doing. Ended up in the Jews' eyes, the lowest of the lowest was the swine. He found himself in the swine pit, eating the husks of corn, begging that he would have enough to fill his stomach. The Bible says would have fain filled his stomach. But yet the Bible said he came to his senses and he said, "How much are my father's servants better than I'm better than this? I can go to my father. I don't have to be out here in this pig pen eating pig slop." I compare that to the things of the world when people decide to do the things of the world rather than the things of God. He said, "I will arise and I will go to my father's house. I will repent." Repentance is necessary unto salvation. Crying crocodile tears is not repentance. Getting caught with your hand in the cookie jar and saying, I'm sorry, is not repentance. True repentance is you being grieved over the things that grieve the heart of God and coming to God in pure repentance before Him and saying, God, I have sinned. Please forgive me. It's that simple. It is that simple. And then get yourself on the right path and stay on the right path. My friend, I didn't do this because I wanted to do it. I feel like that God has challenged me to challenge you. And as you stand with me, nobody leaving yet, please. Right now is a very serious time in this service because there are those that might be standing here today that as I have preached this message, maybe you felt the convicting power of God. Maybe you have felt that God has been wooing you and calling you, and somebody that's backslid, maybe God said, please come home. Please come home. The old song says, come home, it's supper time. Some of you resonate with that song more so than modern songs or whatever the case might be. But maybe today has found you here at this church. You know what it is to serve God. You've had the hand of God upon your life. You felt the touch of God upon your life before. But right now, all you're doing is saying, God, I wish you would touch me one more time. God, I wish you would give me one more chance. If that's you, as you bow your head with me right now, you can have that chance in this room. And all you've got to do is say, Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. Forgive me of all of my sins. Forgive me of all of my transgressions. Forgive me of all of my wickedness. Forgive me of all the things that I've ever done against you. Lord, come into my heart. Come into my life. Save me. And allow the Holy Spirit to change your heart. If you want to come and join Adam around this altar today, you want to come and renew your heart, you want to come today and renew your life, you want to come today and surrender your life to Jesus, please do that today. Don't play with your soul. Don't leave this building today not knowing where you're going to spend eternity. Don't do that. Please, I beg you, in the name of Jesus, don't do that today. Those of you that know me, you know this is one step beyond my character today because I feel this so much in my heart today. You may not have next week. You may not have tomorrow. But today, while I'm here today giving you this privilege, some of you come and pray with these that's coming. Pray them through. Ask them what they need from God. Ask them how you can pray with them. You don't have to get their social security number, remember? But you can say, how can I help you pray? What do you need from God today? How can I be a prayer intercessor with you today? How can I mediate with you today? How can we pray together? Is there others? Are there others that can come? There's still some in this room. You're fighting it. You're fighting it right now. Yield to the Holy Spirit. Yield to God right now while He's knocking on your heart's door. Yield to Him today while He's giving you this opportunity. And let Him radically save your soul. Let Him turn your life around for eternity. Let Him do it today. God is wanting to change your life. God loves you today. But I don't deserve to be loved. None of us deserve to be loved, friend. I don't deserve heaven. None of us deserve heaven. By grace are you saved through faith. It is a gift of God. And the Bible says if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. That God commended His love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Why? Because God loves your soul. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for these around this altar. I pray for Adam. I pray for Steve. I pray, Father, for Josh. I pray for these that are here today. That Holy Spirit, that God, you will do a work in their life. Turn their life around. Change them for you and for your glory. And Father, I ask you, God, to take Adam right now, God.